Session number 12678, Mr. Ernest Jones, Reel 1.
Ernest Jones, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Jones?
I was born in Leinster, in Herefordshire, on the 13th of June, 1897. On that day was a very important day, because it was Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee Day, and they roast an ox in the corn square, and they had trestle tables and forms, and the inhabitants of Leinster had roast beef in the corn square there. Now, my mother never forgot to tell me years after that I was the cause of her not being able to go to the jollifications. So therefore, it was a momentous day in two ways. I was born, and it was Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee Day.
What did your father do for a living?
Well, my father was the son of a builder, and his father apprenticed him to for 7 years as a monumental stonemason in Shrewsbury, and he apprenticed him for 7 years because he wanted him to go in his business. My father didn't want to go in the business. He wanted to be a shoemaker. So, although his father apprenticed him, he went at that job for over 5 years. After he'd been on the job for 5 years, he got tired of it. Although he was a good craftsman, and he had 5 years of it. So, one Monday morning, he was so despondent that he walked from Shrewsbury to Welshpool and joined the South Wales Borderers. That was his start in the army. I don't know how long he did in the army. I never found that out. I don't think I ever asked him, because he used to tell me things about the army and all that. Now, I was more or less a favourite of his, for two reasons you'll find out later on. Now, when I was 3 years old, they altered Shrewsbury Station, you see, and the platforms used to be level with the street. They dug down and put a basement under it of subways. And therefore, you'll notice Shrewsbury Station is on a slant. And they dug down and they put the subways and brought it up to the platforms. Now, and they altered the front of the building. Now, my father was, after he came out of the army, that was the only job that he knew. So he was a monumental stonemason. Therefore, he got the job at Shrewsbury on the station. So therefore, we moved from Leinster in 1900 to Shrewsbury, and we came to live not a stone's throw from where I am now, in Lindley Street, which is the next street almost to this. And I lived there till I went in the army in 1916.
And Linley Street's in the Castlefields area.
Castlefields, yes, it's just... I go down pretty often to have a look at the old house.
How many were there in the family then, when you were a kid?
Well, now, I had an elder brother, an elder sister, and I was the third. And there was 10 of us all together, well told afterwards. Now, after me was another girl, a sister. Now then, that was 4 of us. And then twins were born that died. That parted our family. After the twins, there came 4 boys. So there was 8 living, 2 died. Now, why they did these things in those days, I don't know, but I mean, we were bad off. Dad's wage when he was a stonemason was 18 shillings a week for 52 hours. He used to start at 6 o'clock in the morning till about half past five or 6 o'clock at night. And he'd have half an hour for breakfast and an hour for dinner out of it. You see? And that was his... and he got 18 shillings a week for that. Now, when he used to fix stonework on the top of a chimney stack, like where they have the works, chimney stack, he fixed the stonework round the top of the stack. He had to be pulled up the centre with a cradle, and he fixed that stone, and he liked that because he got 22 shillings a week for that. And that was what we lived on now.
How did the family manage on that? Because that's very little for all them children.
We could manage, really. There was nothing, we never had holidays or anything of that. You got the bare essentials of life, that was it. And that's how we managed.
Wasn't the house a bit overcrowded? How big a house did you have in Linley Street?
We only had 2 up and 2 down. That was a living room, a back kitchen, a big bedroom and a little bedroom.
So where
and
did
that
you
was
sleep?
All. That was all. Now, my younger brothers used to 2 that side the bed, 2 this side the bed. You know, 2 at the bottom and 2 at the top.
And
that's how they. That's how they used. They got over the difficulty. Now I had 2 sisters. Now they slept in the mother's room, you see, with the dad and mother. You see, they had their own bed there. And, but of course, you see, they weren't all... I wasn't at home for all of them. Not that when they were grown up or anything of that. I'm a bit blank now. Now, there was my elder brother and sister and myself, and I was only 3 years old when I came to Shrewsbury, and I went to All Saints Infant School
here. What was that like?
In Castlefields. And then I went to when I
what kind of an education did you get there? What did
all elementary.
So now, 3 hours.
Yes. Then when I was old enough, I went to St. Michael's, which was elementary school for, you know, till they were 14. We only had school till 14 in those days. Now, I was not a very good scholar.
Why not?
I don't know. I tried my best because in those days, you know, you got the cane for everything. If you didn't get to, if you weren't in your place, at school, when the bell stopped in the morning, they shut the door and you were left on the landing. And when then after they'd had prayers, the headmaster used to come out with his cane, and everybody who was on the landing had the cane. You see, he held your hand out and pshht. And then, of course, you'd go in. And, well, I wasn't a very good scholar. And but I got through, into a matter of fact. I got up to standard 6. And then I was...
Were there any subjects you liked or disliked? What were your favourites?
Oh, history was my special. History. And history and scripture. I liked that. But when I got 12, you see, there was a scheme that what they called a proficiency examination, that when you were 12, you could go into this examination, and if you passed this examination, you could leave school to start to work. So I went in for it, and I had to go to another school on a Saturday morning to take the exam. Well, about a fortnight later, the headmaster came in and he said, "Now, I'm going to read out the names of the boys that have passed the examination." So he says, "And I want them to come out here and stand in a row." And he started with calling the names. He called ever so many, then he called mine. And I walked out and stood at the end of the row. And he just stood there and he looked at me. And then he come to me and he said, "I don't know how you did it." I didn't care. I was leaving school then. I was entitled to leave school then.
And what did you and your father, what were you going to do? I mean, you left school at 12. What was...
Oh, I'd got nothing. Nothing. Only a young boy. You see, in the most of the town, in the towns, the shops had errand boys then in those days. You could get a job, you know, but most shops had errand boy. And
Had you worked before as an errand boy, part-time, or was it...
Oh, no, it was full-time.
No, before you left school, had you been a part-time?
Oh, I did get one job before I left school, and that was at the Saturday morning. I used to go to a butcher's in the market, and I used to have a little white apron, but I always put my apron on before I left home, because I loved wearing it, to show everybody as I got an apron on. And when I got up to the market, the butcher would put so many pieces of meat in a big basket, and with the addresses on them, and I'd got to take them off. When half the time it was almost as much as I could lift, never mind carry, and I had to take them to the almost the other side of the town, as people had ordered. I found some very good people in Shrewsbury. You know, I'd be tugging this here big basket along, and a chap had come along and he says, "It's heavy." I said, "Aye, my word, it is." "Oh, give it here," and they'd carry it so far from me, you know, for me. You know, they were a good lot, really. And I, for that job, I got sixpence and a piece of meat, and that was my Saturday day's wages.
Now, when you left school, you got a job as an errand boy. Who for?
Well, I went to the news agents just by the station, and I delivered newspapers for them, and I worked, you know, in the garden or the back there, and cleaning up and one thing or another, and going errands for them. And you know that I always remember one thing I did at that job, And I used to go down to the station because we were very near the station, and I was always the first to get me a roll of papers. They used to come in rolls, and they'd tip them out outside the door of the station, and we'd have to pick our own, you see, different lads from the news agents in the town. We'd pick them up and run and get the thing, and then I'd have to get the poster, you know, that we put on these things, you know, they have outside. And I always remember one thing, and the poster was Titanic sinking, and I was the first one to put that up in Shrewsbury. But I always remember putting that poster in the framework where it on show, Titanic sinking.
How long did you work there?
Oh, about might be 6 months. Then, of course, I got another job. I was getting half a crown a week there, and it was a full week's work, half a crown. And then I got another job at a fruit shop, and so I got 3 shillings there, you see. So I was working my wages up a bit, and then I had a three-wheel truck that I used to take sacks of potatoes up to the big houses on the outside of the town, and deliver chickens, and deliver fruit and vegetables and everything. That was my job. But of course, I fell down on that job because my truck one day, you see, I was coming back with it, and I wasn't far away from the shop, and another lad was going up, and I said, "How far are you going?" He says, "Oh, I'm going up to the column." So I said, "Oh, I'll come back with you for company." I put me truck up a passage by the side of the house and walked up with him. And of course, I forgot my truck when I come back and walked back to the shop and left off and everything of that. And next morning when I went to the to work, he said, "Deal with us some potatoes, a sack of potatoes to take to so-and-so. I'll go and fetch the truck." I went to fetch the truck out of the ship, but out of the yard, and it wasn't there. I'd forgotten all about where I'd left it or anything. And so the boss rang up the police. And the police said, "Yes." He said, "We've had it here." He said, "There's people in the house found it in their entrance." He said, "So we've got it here." So I had to go, and of course I had the sack for that. Then of course I went to another place, and I was delivering newspapers there. Well, I only got the same wages there, 3 shillings a week. But any, of course, it was a job.
So that was another news agent, not...
Yes, yes. Then from there, I heard of a job at Adams the chemist, William Adams the chemist. He was an alderman of the Shrewsbury, and he was got a big chemist shop in Ireland's Mansions in High Street. And I heard that they wanted a lad, so I went. And I saw Mr. Adams, and he said, "Yes, righto," he said, "I think you'll do," he said, "and get yourself smartened up a little bit," he said, and "start on Monday." So, of course, what I liked about that job was there was a bicycle. I could ride a bike, and I could, and so I was, I had a bicycle, but I was delivering medicines, you see, to Shrewsbury schools and all things like that, and in different places. What I used to do, I have to still go up in the morning to the different houses of Shrewsbury schools and collect the books that the doctor had been round the boys, and to put the medicines in and bring it back to the shop. Then of course they'd make up the medicines, and then in the afternoon I'd take the medicines round the different houses. Now I got 6 shillings a week for that. So I was getting on grand there. And of course, why, I don't know, but Mrs. Adams, you see, they lived at the back of the shop and everything and over the top of it. And Mrs. Adams, you see, they had a lawn at the back and places there. And she took a liking to me for some reason or other and asked for me to go and help her at different things, like sweeping the lawns and cutting the lawns and doing various things. And then, of course, what I liked about it was I'd come back, you know, some afternoon, and Mrs. Adams would come, and she'd say, Ernest, come in the house a minute. So she'd take me into the kitchen, and she'd say, now, can you eat this for me? And it was some pudding that was left from the lunch they'd had that day, of course. So, as to say whether I could or not, well, no, I ask you. I was half clemmed. I mean, we never had anything like that. So I got on very well there. And I was there for, about 6 months, or more, a bit more perhaps. Then I was coming down Frankwell. That's from the barracks there, from the barracks. And there was a shoemaker's shop on the one. And I was always keen to watch these people that were shoemaking. And I used to go and stand at the window, you know, and watch them, you see, and all that. And I used to think, oh, wish I could do that. Wish I could do that.
Had you got that from your dad?
Eh?
Well, your dad had wanted to be a shoemaker.
I didn't know then about him.
That was just a coincidence.
And so, of course, I coming down, and I saw a notice in the window, and I went to see what this notice said. Apprentice wanted. Oh, I thought, oh, I wish I could go that job. Oh, I'd like to know how to make shoes and that. So I went home, and Dad was all for it. Although, of course, I knew nothing about him wanting to be one. Dad was all for it. But, of course, Mother was up against it, because I was only going to get 2 shillings a week. And of course, she was going to get 4 shillings short in housekeeping money. So Mother said no, she couldn't do it. She couldn't let me go, you see. And so Dad, and of course I started to cry because I wanted to go, and Dad tried to persuade her and all that. And he said, now look at your mother, he said. You know, after he's been there 6 months, he said, or perhaps a bit longer, he'd be able to repair the children's shoes for you, and that'll save you money. And anyhow, I don't know whether Mother thought about it or whether she did, but she relented, and she said, all right, well, if he goes and I get 4 shillings more, he'll do more work at home. Mother was rather hard, you know. But she was a wonderful person, all the same. And so I went. Dad took me up there, and I was bound for 5 years.
As an apprentice?
As an apprentice to shoemaking. You know, I went there, and we made it from the very start of the shoe. The outline of the foot on a piece of paper was a start. That's how we used to start, and then measure the foot and everything of that, and make shoes to measure. And we used to make them for 21 shillings. That was before 1914. Of course, this was about 1913. See, and I did.
What was the name? Which shop? It was on Franklin Street. What was the shop?
Frankwell.
Frankwell.
Frankwell, yes, that's the part, that's the Welsh part of the town.
And what was the shop called?
Oh, well, George Ager was the proprietor, and he was a Northampton man, and he was a craftsman. You know, when I didn't do a thing properly, he'd get a strap and he'd give me a cut across the back. You've got to do that properly. I can't have that, things like that going out of my shop. And then he'd give me a strap across the back. He had no mercy on you.
Did you enjoy the work? You'd wanted to do
it. Yes, I did. Yes, I did enjoy it. And then, of course, the war comes.
Now, just before we go on to the war, just a couple more questions about your life. Were your family religious at all? I mean, did they belong to C of E or Catholic or...?
My mother and father, before they met, were both members of the Salvation Army and they wore uniform. And Dad was a stonemason working on St. George's Hall in Liverpool. And he was belonged to the Salvation Army there. And he met a young woman in the Salvation Army and they got married. That was my mother and father. Well, then, after they'd finished at St. George's Hall, he had a job on the parish church at Wrexham. And he was working there, and while he was there, my eldest brother and sister were born in Wrexham. You see, then, after that job was finished, he went and got a job at Leinster. And me and my young next sister were born in Leinster. And
so did they keep the links with the Salvation Army?
Not exactly, but they were rather on the religious side. Mother more than Dad.
Is that C of E, Church of England?
No, we were... The Salvation Army is nothing. You don't call them a denomination or anything. And they're just the Salvation Army, and it's just the Bible, nothing else.
Were you very religious when you were a young lad?
More or less, yes. Yes, Mother drummed it into us. My mother would... Do you know that I had to go to church, to the gospel hall here, just down the road here, 6 times on a Sunday? Now, I'll tell you how it happened. I'll give you the 6th time. First was Sunday school, 10:30 on a Sunday morning. Now, there always used to be a meeting at 11 o'clock in the morning there. Now, Mother would say, just remember and stop in the meeting. I'd have to stop in the 11 o'clock meeting till 12. I'd go home, help with the dinner and that. I'd be back here for Sunday school at 2:30. 3 o'clock, there was another, what we call the little meeting. Now, Mother would say, now just remember and stop in the little meeting. And of course, I had to do what Mother told me, because she saw that you did. And so that was it. So I was...
And then what were the last two?
My eldest brother belonged to them, and he used to do a bit of preaching there. And he used to... They used to go round the streets, you know, and on the corner of the street they'd sing him and say a few words, you know, and all that. Well, now, he went with them and I'd got to go with him. Mother made me go with him. Then, of course, I had to go to the main meeting at 6:30. See? That was 6 times on a Sunday.
Did you not get fed up of it?
Oh, I did. But no, that hadn't finished there. When we'd all been to the meeting, Mother, Dad and all us youngsters used to be on the front row. And when we come home, now Mother would have us round the table and the Bibles would be put up out, and then we'd have to read a chapter each. And she'd say a little prayer, and then it'd be a case of, well, that's it, go on, off to bed, off to bed. You never had supper in those days. Oh, no, that's nothing. And so we went to bed.